Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Stylefile, where we cover everything and anything on the business of fashion. I'm Adeline Cheung, and for this week's Style Maker, we have Anna Abu and Shah Azman, the founders and creative director of Anna Abu.
So we started to think that we want to come up with a unisex collection that is just not for the T-shirt or sweatshirt or jumpers and that kind of. We want to create a piece, a statement piece that can be worn by both men and women.
And finally, Emma Chong Johnston of Elle Malaysia breaks down the trend for prairie.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's to do with the styling. So, you know, if you do have like a button-up collar, don't button it all the way up. Yeah, push up the sleeves, throw on like a denim jacket.
But first up, our style maker for this week, Anna Abu and Shah Azman of Anna Abu. Derived from the concept of beauty in minimalism, Anna Abu is best described as an independent, sustainable brand that infuses soft androgyny into every inch of its creations. The brand works largely with linen, cotton and wool as the neutrality of the texture is highlighted and the details of each piece is well pronounced. Over the years, Anna Abu has been through the rebranding and restructuring process. The company's current look and business direction was established in January 2015, with the brand concentrating on producing its own collections. Since then, the company has grown from Anna Abu as one-woman team to becoming five crucial individuals as the backbone of the new structured brand. Azra Rahman caught up with Anna Abu and Shah Azman as they spoke on their efforts in starting the brand.
Now, Anna Abu, I mean, obviously you're the person behind the name, and I know when you first started out, you had a very different style altogether, and I've seen how, you know, via social media, how you have actually developed your current style. How was your style in the beginning, you know, when you first started out, not only in fashion, but also as someone who was on social media?
Okay, after I graduated in 2010, I was interested in vintage fashion. I started to go to thrift stores and start trying different styles with vintage clothing. And my business started from there. Basically, I was more to festival kind of girl.
Very folksy.
Very folksy. Yeah. I wear so many types of clothing, dresses and everything.
Colourful
boots,
stuff.
Very colourful.
Very different from what you're wearing now, basically, right?
And I was free hair before.
Right.
So after 2 years, I started Anna Abu in 2010. And while working as an engineer. So I found out that this is my passion. I want to do clothing. I want to open a shop. So I quit my job and I started to open a store. And it started as a retail store. So after 2 years, and I got married and I started wearing tudung and everything. From there, my style changes to more minimal kind of styles because it fits my
modesty requirements.
Yeah, and it's much easier. But before this, I still wear loose clothing. Yeah, it's kind of my trademark.
So, but when you first started Anna Abu in 2010, though, was it still that folksy look? Was it still that vintage look that you're wearing then? Or was it already the beginnings of the label as how it is today?
No, it was not. It wasn't. She's still that colourful vintage, you know, the indie girl.
The indie girl.
Yeah.
Says a lot about the kind of music that you listen to as well at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
The thing is, how was it like though for your customer base then, or for your followers as a matter of fact, to have that switch in your label from that to what it is today? Was that quite difficult to deliver to them?
Yeah, actually in 2010, it was quite a trend for vintage kind of style. So people also start changing. Yeah, from vintage style to kind of minimal, and they start wearing tudung and everything. Yeah, I think it's also based on the current trend market. Yeah.
Right. So it's basically following the demand out there in some ways, in that sense.
Yeah, yeah.
Some ways.
So Shah, where did you come in this sense? Into the partnership in that sense?
I came in later in her life. Sometimes 2 years after she opened her shop.
Mm-hmm.
We got married in
2014.
Yes. I forgot it sometimes. So after we got married,
when you first knew her, was she still that vintage girl?
She was, yes. Right. And she's very beautiful. Back then. Still now.
Waiting for that. Yes.
Yes. And after we got married, I didn't really just jump in directly. I was a motion graphic designer in a advertising agency. So after 2 years we got married, and I realized that she needs help. I mean, the brand needs help, because I never liked how the brand looks.
Right.
I mean, her fans love her, of course. Her fans love her stuff, her materials and all. But me personally, as a designer, when I look at logo, I look at the shop, I honestly told her that, sayang, this all needs to change.
Right. Because there was no brand identity for you.
No, yeah, because maybe during that time the vintage was a trend, so the shop and the style was into it, so everybody loved at that time. But for me personally, I was not that festival guy like her. No, I'm very different than her. Maybe that's why. So and then I joined earlier this year, just joined actually, full time. Before this, I was just helping out with the photography, the product, photo shoot, and all. Just helping out, advisors. Now I joined for full-time, and I changed everything.
Right. Okay, so we'll get back to that. But before that, Anna, when you first conceptualized Anna Abu and the minimal look that is known for today, that strong brand identity, how did you first develop that look for you yourself? Because it's something that you wear. It's not only your name attached to it, but it's also you. You know, it's how you dress on a daily basis. How did you first move away from that vintage look to where you are now?
Okay. Actually, I started wearing loose look clothing right when I was a fan of vintage looks. So it kind of trademarked for me. So I like to wear oversized shirts, loose pants, and style them based on what I have. Moving to more minimal look, I started to choose more based on the fabric. I didn't wear printed kind of fabric. Yeah, it's more to plain fabric, but textured. So it's more to the kind of fabric and cutting itself.
I think it's also influenced by the age, because she's get, you know, older. I'm sorry.
You know, you make it sound as though she's turning 50. Huh? Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, yeah.
It's a maturity that came along,
yes,
with maturity. How you dress, yeah, in that sense. So what was the reaction by your followers? What was the reaction by your customers when they begin to see you emerge in a more minimalist style then? Did they say, I want some of that?
Yeah, I think they followed well.
Yes.
I've got some comments that, how do you wear this? How where do you buy this and everything? Which is unexpected as well. Because I think that I just pick up from the closet that whatever I have and I just wear it.
Mm. Right.
The main thing is, I think that you're confident in it and you're wearing something that is practical and comfortable in your body.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the clothes. Obviously, you're known for your minimal styles and how it's very simply done and how it's using natural fabrics. Do you feel limited by that as a designer, in the sense that, oh, you know, it has to be more simple than that. It can't have any frills on it. No, it can't have any bright colours on it. Does that limit you as a designer in that sense?
In some terms, yes, because I have to take care of the brand identity itself. So I can't have a very bright colours in my design.
Which can be quite challenging when it's a Raya collection, for example.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because
which you have done.
Because they think that for Raya, we have to be bright. And yeah, for my last Raya, it is quite a simple colour tone. We just use earth tone, blue and brown. But the reaction is quite good. We have a good audience. They love our collection because they can wear it for the festive season and also off-season.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just more like another collection in that sense, not necessarily just for Raya in that sense.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Now, another great thing that I really admire from Ana Abu is the him and her collection, which was androgynous, which was ambiguous, which was meant for boys and for girls. What was the reasoning behind that? What made you want to come out with that collection?
At first, it is because of the demands from the men's side. Because
was that you, Sha?
Yeah, part of it, yes.
Because they came to our store and just sit on the bench, and they like our concept, the minimal concept that we portrayed before. So they keep asking, where is for the men's and everything. So we started to think that we want to come up with a unisex collection that is just not for the t-shirt or sweatshirt or jumpers and that kind of. We want to create a piece, a statement piece that can be worn by both men and women, that they can style based on their styles. Mm-hmm. They can mix and match for their daily wear. Yeah.
Well, another thing that really struck me from that particular collection was the art direction, and I imagine that's where you kind of come in,
yeah.
Shah, because it was so strong,
okay.
and the branding was so strong, the visual element was so strong. What was the inspiration behind that?
Well, we have the title for the campaign. It was called Alone Together. So the idea was that the piece that we made are mainly for unisex. So we wanted people to wear together. But it's okay if you're alone. I mean, if you have no one in your life, it's okay to wear it alone, but better together. So title was Alone Together means you could be together by being alone together. You know, I don't know how to make it.
It's like a marriage in a sense, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Doing things quietly together.
Yeah.
In that sense.
So that was the
other campaign. Meaning of the collection is the pieces collected, the pieces created are created to be worn as per one pieces, or you can wear it for one whole outfit.
Right.
And you can mix and match. So it's like you wear it alone or you wear it together.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so, I see.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I suppose if you and your husband are the same size, then you could share the pieces as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the fun of it, because we have few couples coming in and they buy the same piece together. And to see those people wear it together, it's a lovely feeling.
And the actual photo shoot as well.
Namibia.
That was shot in
Bagan Lalang.
Bagan Lalang. Who would have thought Bagan Lalang could look like how it did, right?
It was so good.
So, what was the concept behind that? Because I really feel that that kind of brought the whole campaign alive. Mm-hmm. The actual, you know, visual elements of the whole photo shoot.
The reason behind it was like the title itself, Alone and Together. So we brought four people, two couples, Ridwan, Nadia, Dad, and
Effa.
So two guys, two girls, and we have two couples.
Totally different looks.
Nah, like different color skin, different hair, hairdo. So the idea was that we want to show that this piece, you can wear it no matter what you are, how your skin color looks like.
Right.
So that's the reason why I chose Bagan Lalang was that I love nature. If some of you guys have followed me on Instagram... So my trademark is that I shoot nature composition. So that's the main part of the campaign, the composition and the minimalistic, the lighting, the golden hour light. So yeah.
And that's where I really feel how Ana Abu, the label, has really come into success, in the sense that you have the clothing that's so striking on its own, but also the branding behind it, right? Mm-hmm. And it's always the branding that's missing from a lot of Malaysian labels, in the sense that they don't invest in it.
Mm-hmm.
Is it very important to you to have, you know, your clothes shot in a certain style, to be presented in a certain style, to have all these concepts being brought to life in that sense, right?
Yes, it's, for me, it's 1,000% important. Very important. I think the most important thing after the product itself. Because if you can have a good product without a good branding, but you cannot sell it. But you can have an poor or maybe average product. But if you brand it really well, you can really make people confident in your stuff and they will buy it.
They buy into the idea.
Yeah, they buy into the idea, the story behind it. Mm. So for me, it's more important than how you market it. I mean, there are lots of brands who use like celebrities, famous celebrities to market them. So that's one of the ways. But I believe in how good the brand and how good the story is for the product. So for me, it's most important.
Right. So it's the purity of the product and the concept together in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so is that your starting point for every collection then, Anna? Mm-hmm. In the sense that you have a story, you start with a story.
Yeah, yeah. Behind every collection, we started with a story, either with from our past experience or from the past feedback from customer. Such as in Him and Her, we used to put this middle pocket in your chest and everything. Mm. Yeah, it's actually came from my grandmother. She was a seller in the market, and she wore this just a top with a pocket here.
Like a Doraemon pocket.
A Doraemon pocket just to put her money. Right. Yeah, it's safer, and she can
better
put
than using your bra, right? It's like how people used to do it. As a matter
so
of fact,
I put it in my design for that. Mm. Yeah, usually for women, they always complain that their clothes doesn't have pocket.
I'm one of those women. Why don't women's clothes come with pockets, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so we place the pocket for... Yeah, you can put your phone and everything so you don't have to bring the bags and... Yeah, something like that. We want to put practicality into our clothing so people can wear it with ease.
Right. Yeah. Is that what led to the pocket issue, that collection as well?
Yes. One thing led to another.
The pocket issue is made for our glam fashion feature runway. Yeah, basically it was pocket everywhere.
Everywhere.
So we want to integrate the pocket into pocket and bags into the garments. Mm. Yeah, it's actually an experimentation collection from us. Yeah.
Right, so it's not just about wearing minimalist clothes, but having a minimalist lifestyle, not carrying so many things with you.
Yeah.
In that sense then. You say it's a concept collection. Does it mean that it's not going to be released for the general public or not?
It will be.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, we have released one of the design from the research called the oversized pocket shirt, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's one of the design from the pocket issue. We have released 2 weeks ago in store right now.
But for the rest of the collection, we integrate with our next collection for the next year.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Now, Anna, as someone who wears a hijab, do you feel that your clothes have to suit your requirements? Do they have to be modest? Do they have to be certain hemlines? Does it guide you in your designing?
It's actually on how you style it. If you have a sleeveless top, you can wear it with kimono and everything. So my design is based on, it's not actually only for the hijabis, but it's also for all people. It depends on how you style it. So I make one collection that you can have an outerwear, a top, pants.
So basically something that's complete in that sense.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Would you ever go into the next step of, you know, coming up with your own line of hijabs? So I'm sure people have been asking you, how do you tie your hijab? Give us a tutorial.
I don't think so.
Why is that so?
Because after we got married, I changed it, of course. And also, we have this mentality. We're trying not to be like everybody else. What I mean is that, you know, all these famous people, when they're famous, they will sell hijabs and, you know, people love them. So we're trying to stay away from that, and we're trying to find a new perspective on how to culture our fans. You know, I'm trying to ask her to stay away from the typical hijab tutorial, you know.
Right, I see. Yeah. In the sense that you want to create a label that's easily accessible by everyone as opposed to the modest market? Is that the intention behind it?
Yes. That was the intention, because Moving to Bangsa is part of it, because we're trying to capture a new market for us. Because before this, inshallah, we have this huge amount of Muslimah fans. So we have that, and we're holding on to it. So Moving to Bangsa is another strategy to find this...
Expand your market.
Expanding, like Chinese, all the Indians, all the... Like Malaysian.
Right. So it's more of a case, it just happens that the founder wears a hijab as opposed to it being a label for hijabis only in that sense. So now you've also got shoes, you've got footwear in your collection. Will you be introducing other accessories as well?
Yeah, currently we're working on our own merchandise and we are planning to collaborate with several brands for that.
Can we know who they are yet?
It's still
we have
in discussion.
Few names in shortlist. It should be a surprise.
Right, okay. What kind of collaborations can we look forward to in terms of the items themselves?
Yeah, it's like merchandise, like stationaries.
Stationaries, maybe, yeah.
Yeah, tote bag, a cap, or, yeah.
Notebooks.
And
right. I have a feeling you're behind that one, Shah.
Oh. Yeah. It's a surprise.
Right. I mean, you're already available in Singapore. In Endpoint. Are you hoping to broaden your market beyond Malaysia, beyond Singapore?
Hopefully, we can reach Indonesian market. We are looking for departmental store and everything, and Brunei.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's a new horizon to conquer in the future, in that sense. How has the challenge been for you, though, so far, Anna? You've come so far from when you first started to where you are today, not only in terms of your look, but also in terms of, you know, from when you just first started as a label while you were working to from being in Shah Alam to where you are in Bangsa. What is the biggest takeaway for you, for someone whose name is behind the label?
Okay, I started it alone. So after several years, I have this team, this huge team. It's not huge, it's only five
just
people.
Just five of us, yeah.
But it's good that we are working together and I grow from them. I learned so many things in terms of designing, the kerning and everything, the logo. And so, yeah. And in terms of the financial on the business, because I'm not a business background. Yeah, I'm purely from civil engineering.
Which has helped you in your design process, I'm sure.
Yeah, a bit.
Constructing garments in that sense.
Yeah, but I learned business from hands-on and from my father as well. He has given me so many advice. The important thing is I keep learning and our brand grow from nothing to
where we are now. Yeah. Mm.
So what can we look forward to in the future then? What are you working on in terms of your collections? Will there ever be a splash of red in your clothes, for example? Let us know.
For next year, we are working on improvement of him and her. So there will be a him and her chapter 2.
Okay.
Maybe. Yeah, but
will there ever be stuff just for the boys?
For both. Yeah.
For both, yeah.
Right.
For both.
Obviously for both, yeah.
We are planning to enter KL Fashion Week for next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's two main event for us next year and
And the collaboration that you were talking about as well.
Yeah.
After the break, Emma Chong Johnston, managing editor of Elle Malaysia, breaks down the next style trend, Prairie. But before that, here's a Christmas song for you. It's Coldplay with Christmas Lights.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it.
All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold-cut combo, veggie delight, or Black Forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.
BFM 89.9, it's Adeline Chung on Stylefile. Next up, Emma Chong Johnston of Elle Malaysia gets down with the next style trend, Prairie.
We are looking at the Prairie trend this week. I've seen quite a bit of this, especially in the high street stores, you know, all these pastoral, dark kind of florals on ruffles and things.
Yes.
Of course, we can't say Prairie without mentioning Little House on the Prairie.
Yes.
How much of this is that, though?
Well, so, the specific thing I wanted to speak about today was the Prairie dress, which, you know, is like a 70s staple. And you,
we are still here in the 70s
somehow. Yeah, unfortunately. We'll never let it go. So the prairie dress often has a high ruffled neck, long sleeves, long full sleeves, a kind of a bib detail, maybe a little ribbon tie, full length, often floral, often very wispy, with a bit of lace. And it was a favourite during the 70s and is coming back now.
It's a very modest look, isn't it? You're completely covered up in that sense,
very,
right?
Very, very modest.
And I see that being quite, you know, popular with our hijabis, for example. But, you know, is it a bit full on for those who don't need to cover so much, though?
Yes. I mean, it...
Especially in our climate, right?
Especially if you do it in a floral, or especially if you don't go for synthetics if you can, because...
a sweaty bum is not something that you can enjoy.
Yes, it's a lot of floral, but I think this season we've been seeing a lot of it in kind of sheer chiffons, which make it a little more lightweight and a little bit easier to carry off. And also, not such full-on floral prints, a lot of faded washes and kind of pastels and washed-out brights. So in that sense, it's a bit easier than if you're, you know, doing top-to-toe orange. But it's still a tricky one. And, you know, again, you have to work with your body type and your height, push up the sleeves, maybe rather than an actual maxi length, go midi or even knee length, try some shoes that will toughen it up a bit.
The thing is, with a trend like this, with a dress like this, as a matter of fact, this particular garment could really take over your entire look for the day, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be that prairie girl for the day.
Yeah, it's not one that's easily incorporated into your own style, you know? You kind of just have to go with it, I think.
Right. Is there any way of making it a bit more casual, I suppose? Is it where the grooming comes in, where you make it seem a bit more like, you know, I just threw this on as opposed to,
yeah.
I'm Laura Ingalls today. Forgot my bonnet.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's to do with the styling. So, you know, if you do have like a button-up collar, don't button it all the way up. Push up the sleeves, throw on like a denim jacket, some flat sandals.
The hair has to be up.
Yeah.
Don't you think so?
Yes,
I don't know.
Because otherwise it's a bit over. If you can't see your neck, that's a bad. You need some neck out, otherwise.
You need some skin.
Yeah. I think just the key to it is just kind of keeping it as kind of loose and undone as you can.
Right. Do you think it's a possible staple for festival wear?
Yeah, it is, because it's an easy one, you know, and a lot of the shapes are very smock-like, so you can throw it on over anything, over a bikini, if that's your jam. It's a good one, you know, it doesn't matter if it crumbles, just toss it in the bottom of your bag. So I think it will be a big summer hit come 4 or 5 months' time.
So fabrication is obviously important, so let's stick to the chiffons as opposed to anything heavier than that, I imagine.
Yes, chiffons, the cheesecloth, the wispy, light as air fabrics.
Are you a fan of it, though?
I think I'm too short for a prairie dress. And I think it's also challenging if you have like anything over a B cup, I think, to have that kind of that much
bib.
Yeah, the bib does draw attention to the girls. But I really like the look. I think if I was going to wear a prairie dress, it would be a mini version rather than a maxi.
Right. So the tall and willowy types,
would
suit best with this. Yeah, otherwise,
Suki Waterhouse.
I think you have a point with those who are a bit more, you know, heavily endowed on top, because you don't want that monoboob look, do you?
No, right? You don't want the shelf.
You don't want the shelf. You don't want the boob shelf going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so the prairie dress, a bit of a tricky one, but I think a very pleasing to the eye look if done well.
Yeah.
At the same time.
And that was this week's episode of Style File. If you've missed any part of the show, catch up with the podcast on www.bfm.my/stylefile. And don't forget to like our Facebook page, Style File on BFM 89.9. Before we go, though, I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, and may y'all be blessed with joy and happiness this year round, and leaving you with I'm Gonna Be Warm This Winter by Kylie Minogue. This has been Style File. I'm Adeline Chung on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for $2.99 subs. How would you like it?
I'll take Drill Sergeant, please.
You got it. All right, now listen up. I want each and every one of you to drop and give me a 6-inch meatball marinara, cold cut combo, veggie delight, or black forest ham on your choice of bread with any veggies you want for just $2.99 each.
Sir, yes, sir!
Subway! Make it what you want at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied.